Welcome to the C3 Calgary podcast. We are so grateful you have come to join us. We would love to invite you to one of our in-person services. To find out times, locations, and more about our church, visit our website at myc3church.ca or find us on Instagram. Enjoy the message.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you, Andrea. We have so many super talented people in our church. Like Tyler, for example. Super talented. Thank you. Oh, that's great. Thank you, everybody, for coming this afternoon. It feels a little different having a candlelight service in the afternoon, but we can control the lights. I keep thinking, you know, all over through this season, when we were had done a series on the last chapter, and I kept thinking about greeting people in heaven and who we'd get to see and what would those conversations be like. And it led me to think about a conversation that I wonder what would have taken place, and if it did take place or if it could take place, between Mary and Eve. I expect that Eve would be a little bit embarrassed, having made a sizable error of judgment one day. And I would have thought that Mary, because redemption was growing in her, would have said to Eve, you don't need to be covered in shame. You don't need to be covered in guilt. Because before that happened, there was a plan in place. That particular conversation led me to think about how that we're all kind of covered with something. That Eve could be covered in shame, maybe guilt. It says of Mary that she was highly favored, a very unique phrase. It's used twice in Scripture, once there in the second chapter of Luke and once again in Ephesians. It says that those of us who have invited Christ into our lives are highly favored as well. So we're covered with a form of favor. So I want to talk about gift wrapping today. And maybe you got all wrapped up in the season. Maybe you're wrapped up in an emotion. Maybe you've got all wrapped up in a hobby, or maybe you got wrapped up in something that you shouldn't have got wrapped up in. Jesus got wrapped up. And I want to read a passage from First Luke chapter 2. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Just a little further on in verse 11, the angel said this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped up in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. So it's interesting when I think about this, because there's lots of stories, and I'd like to try to get the right story about Christmas. sometimes the Christmas songs betray us a little bit. And I've been a young dad a few times, and I know what's not needed around is somebody playing a drum. So when I think of the little drummer boy around at Christmas time, I imagine that that wouldn't have fit in very well. But when I think about the specific events, there were signs that were given. And what caught my attention was this specific one, that this will be a sign for you. He's speaking to shepherds. He said, there's going to be a sign. And so I was curious about that. We've already told the story. The kids have sung about it. Jesus is coming. We live between two Advents. We all know he came. We all know he's coming again. Every king was once a baby. But there was only one king that became a baby. This is a story about the most remarkable act of love that's ever taken place before in history. And when he came, not everybody recognized him. I love the passage in 1 Samuel that says this: the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. His brothers thought he was a runt. His dad wasn't sure what to think of him. The prophet just seen, he's seen all the boys. He said, there's gotta be somebody else. And then the Lord says, I don't look at things the way you do. You don't judge a book by its cover. Frankly, I do all the time. And disappointed often. But I love pictures on fronts of books. But we don't judge books by their cover. We judge them by their stories. And so God looks on the heart. The story, something happened to me. I wrapped something up about 34 years ago, if you'll let me tell you this story. If anybody's 34 years or younger here, is there a few? Anybody? Couple? This has been wrapped up for the last 34 years. So I grew up in a small town in northern Saskatchewan, and part of our Christmas tradition was going down to Grandma's place. And down at Grandma's place, she had a wood stove. And after Grandpa had milked the cows, he'd bring in an armload of wood and bank up the wood stove. And we'd sit around the kitchen, and Grandma would cook. And that was always a fond, fond memory for me, the cook stove. When the farm got tore down, Grandma took her wood stove into her place in town. And she actually reproduced the same kitchen, identical to what she had on the farm. When Grandma passed away, we sold the house, and I thought, I want the stove. So 34 years ago, I wrapped the stove up with a tarp. And this summer, I'm going to unwrap it. Now, it might be just a pile of rust. I don't really know. But it's all wrapped up, waiting for a discovery this summer. This will be your sign. Here's your sign. Lots of signs. There's four times that Jesus is wrapped in Scripture. The first time he's wrapped by the Father. Two times he's wrapped by other people, and one time he wraps himself. The first time is found in John chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The choreographer of the pathways of the planets chose to become a mass of cells in the uterine lining of a teenager, that God would become a human, Emmanuel, that God would come to live with us. And he was wrapped in flesh, that a king would become a baby. Mary, who was highly favored, would live a very problematic life because of the incarnation. But it says that something would take place, and it would take place in a small town called Bethlehem that was prophesied would happen like that. What she would be like, that she would be a teenager. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 said that a virgin would conceive. This is the story of Christmas. Imagine how the Holy Spirit had to engineer them to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So Nazareth to Bethlehem is about the same distance from here to Red Deer. So imagine being like 8.5 months pregnant or so, and then walking to Red Deer at approximately 4 kilometers an hour. It would kind of take about a week. When my youngest daughter was about to be born, we were living on the farm, and my wife couldn't sleep in the night, so she gets up and goes for a walk. Well, you know what happens? Well, maybe you don't know what happens. But being the caring husband that I was, I went right back to sleep. And a couple hours later, I awoke with a startle. Where's my wife? She went for a walk a couple hours ago. Well, she got down the road, and all that action kind of stirred up something. And wouldn't you know it, she went into labor right there on a country road. I know, take me home country road. So she came in the house panting and wheezing, and I can't remember what happened after that. But when you're great with child, you probably shouldn't walk to Red Deer. this is an interesting little story. But they said this would be a sign. So the first time Jesus was wrapped, he was wrapped in flesh. And we're told I'll tell you that in a minute. But the second time he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. So what's the big deal? Later on, after it says he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, so they ran to Bethlehem. This was the first Christmas rush. And he says, they made haste. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. It's an interesting story. Shepherds that lived on the hillside of Bethlehem were known as priestly shepherds. Just down the hill from Bethlehem, there's a watchtower. And on the bottom of the watchtower, it's called Migdal Egar. And in the bottom, there's a place where the Passover lambs were birthed. And they would select specific ewes. And they'd bring them into this place underneath the watchtower. And these specific ewes were chosen because the Passover lambs had to be a certain type. They had to be without bruise, without spot, and without blemish. So you know what the shepherds would do? They'd take the little lambs when they were born. That's what they would do. And they would wrap them in strips of cloth. And then they'd lay them in a manger so they wouldn't get bruised. So it says, this is going to be a sign. You're not going to see a lamb in a manger. You're going to see a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But he said it's okay because he's going to be a very specific type of lamb. He's going to be a Passover lamb. And this one that's going to be born to you is going to be Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is a miracle. The third time he was wrapped, we told a story in Matthew chapter 13, where it says, and then Jesus took a towel and he wrapped himself and he served the disciples by washing their feet. And he gave him this example. He said, if anybody wants to be great among you, it's easy to do. You just need to be a servant. And then the last time Jesus was wrapped, it's one of the mysterious gifts that he received, myrrh. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 53, it says that they took him down from the cross and they wrapped him in a linen shroud and they laid him in a tomb that cut in the stone where no one had ever laid him before. The most profound thing that ever hung on a tree was not a Christmas ornament. It was the Savior of the world. And that he was wrapped in linen, and it seems like a strange sort of a story, but that's not the end of the story. Our faith does not rest in a Savior that died, but a Savior that rose again. And that's what Christmas is about as well. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, it says, people that lived in darkness have seen a great light. This was 7 centuries before Christ was born. And in further on in verse 6, it said, for under us a child is born. Now, well, that shouldn't seem that significant. But then the next verse says, and unto us a son has been given. That's significant. And then it says, and the government will be on his shoulders. That hasn't happened yet. That will happen one day. And he will reign from the throne of David. I invite you tonight to consider and accepting this great gift and that Christ Jesus is the Savior of the world and that he came to the world with a very specific purpose, to lift the guilt and the shame and the burden of sin off the shoulders of humanity. That's the story of Christmas. What are you wrapped up in? Maybe you're wrapped up in a little bit of anxiety or anger or frustration or disappointment. Jesus came to lift that from you. I'm not sure what you're wrapped up in. But because of the birth, the atonement, and the resurrection, you and I can sleep now in heavenly peace. If we accept him and his provision to deal with all of our disappointments and all of our discouragements and all of our depressions, if we just offer that to him, he'll take that and he'll give you the promise of new life. In just a moment, we're going to light candles. Before we do, I want to remind us of what that symbol is all about. In John chapter 1, it said, in him was life, and that life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot, will not ever overcome that. His life was the light of all mankind. The miracle of conception is a microcosm that mirrors God's first four words when he said, let there be light. Did you know that embryologists have recently captured the moment of conception via fluorescent microscopy and seen the exact moment of conception when sperm penetrates an egg, releasing billions of zinc ions that emit light? Literally, sparks fly. Let's declare in these next few moments when we light a candle. And I'm going to invite you just a moment to light your candles. And when we do it, we're making a declaration that Jesus really is the light of the world. And the darkness cannot overcome that light. I'm not sure what your darkness might be. But I'm going to believe that as we light these candles in faith, that that will be absorbed into the life of Christ. We're also told that in verse 9, it says, this true light gives light to everyone. If there's a true light, there can be a false light. So the invitation will be to accept this true light that's offered to you and I today. The true light that gives light to everyone. And there's going to be a moment between the second and the third chorus of Silent Night. And during that time, there's maybe been somebody in this past year, a loved one that's passed away or gone on, and it feels like their light has gone out. We want to take a moment to celebrate that memory. And we'll light a light on their behalf. And we'll do that partway through. We'll have a very special prayer. As we light these lights, without light, there's no vision. Without light, there's no life. It's the first link in the food chain. Because without light, you can't produce vitamin D. And light is also energy. I want to read Revelation chapter 21 as I invite the worship team to come back. In verse 21 and verse 23, it says there's going to come a time when the new heaven and the new earth are going to be created. And it says the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God will give it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Chapter 22 and verse 5, and said, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Bible tells us that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter and brighter until we come into fulfillment of our destiny, when we won't need any light at all, because the Lamb is going to be the light. Let's all just stand for just a moment as we get ready to light our candles. Father, I thank you for coming as the light of the world. And there's a chance that some people that are here today may feel like they're in a little bit of darkness, wrapped up in a little bit of heaviness, a little bit of drama. But you came that we could have life. So, Father, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, in these next few moments, I ask that you do the miracle of allowing them access to that Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Would you just bow your heads with me for just a moment? I'm going to ask you just to do something very specific, that if you don't know Christ as Savior, to just quickly slip your hand up. And in doing so, You're just letting me see who you are so I can pray with you where you're seated. Is there anybody? Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? It's three. Anybody else? You know, you've came tonight. And there's a little bit of darkness and you want light. Is there anybody else to join these three? Anybody else? Is there anybody here today who's feeling heavy? Feeling what you need more than anything is hope. Is there anybody that can just identify with feeling heavy and yes, thank you. Anybody else just feeling heavy and thank you. Jesus, anybody else? Father, we're so thankful that you came to carry the burden of all mankind for the disappointment, the loss, the sin, the shame. Father, I thank you for those that raised their hand to invite you, the light of life, to come. I ask, Lord, for the miracle that they would exchange their life of disappointment and sinfulness to accept the hope and the truth and the light that you offer them. Thank you for coming right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, the heaviness that people feel today, maybe it's the season, I just pray, Father, for each one that raised their hand, that you would lift those burdens in the name of Jesus. You said that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. So Father, we cast these cares upon you. Father, I thank you for the miracle of Christmas. Not just that a baby came, but that a king became a baby. And because of that, Lord, we can have new life. So I thank you for that new life today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's light the candles. Just invite the staff to come and stand with me at the front here. Don't be shy. That's nice. That's good. Beautiful. Lord, as we sing this song together, we're reminded that there was a moment in time when you intersected time. I thank you for the great gift of Jesus Christ. It took place that one very specific night, but because of that, we can have new life today. Let's all just sing together, Silent Night.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, subscribe to our podcast and find us on YouTube. If this message resonated with you and you would like to give to our church, go to myc3church.ca. See you next week.